Recorded Books in One Click Digital present For the Love of Mary by Christopher Meads. Narrated by Jonathan Todd Ross. Chapter 1. Christmas in July. Before the signs caused all the hoopla, and well before our little rivalry made national news, I'd heard great things about the new church across the street. They had air conditioning, a banquet hall, and an air hockey table in the basement. My family went to the Passion Lord Church of God, a place my mother called exclusive, which was another way of saying it was sparsely attended. We were the small church in town, our little ramshackle country house of a chapel sitting kitty-corner to the newer, modern Church of the Lord's Creation. While our choir was composed mainly of retirees with varying degrees of memory loss and halitosis, the Church of the Lord's Creation had a rock band with a drop-dead gorgeous female lead singer and a guitarist who could play note for note any solo from Metallica's landmark 1991 Black Album. That was the first point of contention between our two churches, the sheer noise their band made. At our church's Saturday picnic, my mother was talking about it as she took sandwiches out of the cooler and set them on the picnic table. "I'm going to call the sheriff again," she said. "This time I'll make him show me the noise ordinances on the books." Everyone within 5 feet of my mother looked away. If they made eye contact, she'd go on about the noise for an hour. My father bit into his peanut butter and jam sandwich and immediately spat it out onto his plate. "Tarnation, Margaret!" Right away, I knew what he was yelling about. Mom had put raspberry jam in his sandwich again. My father, name Donald, bald, stout, and capable of picking a cooked Safeway chicken clean with his own two hands, hated raspberry jam. He preferred strawberry, and had, for years now, insisted my mother put strawberry jam in his sandwiches. Only, Mom refused. This was her line in the sand. She gave Dad a dirty look and continued setting out bags of chips next to the sandwiches. "We're a raspberry jam family," she said. "If you don't like it, you can go live with the heathens." Dad's face turned red. "I bought a jar of strawberry jam last week and put it in the cupboard next to the Oreos." "I know," Mom said. "I threw it away."
"Why?"
"Because our house is too small to fit dozens of jams and marmalades." And there was my mother's thesis statement, an unsubtle one at that. She was straight up telling my dad we needed a bigger house. For as long as I could remember, this was the central issue in their marriage. My mother wanted a house with a state-of-the-art kitchen, one with an island for chopping vegetables, a stove with more than two settings, lukewarm or scorch the roast beef hot, flooring that wasn't the color of 10-year-old mustard scrapings, and a multitude of cupboards in all shapes and sizes. And my father wouldn't, or perhaps couldn't, pay for one. To punish him, my mother limited the kinds of food she'd allow in the house. We could have bacon in the refrigerator, but we couldn't have maple-cured bacon. We could have lean cuisine frozen pizzas, but none of my dad's favorite late-night pizza pops. And definitely no strawberry jam. My father was in the unenviable position of being starved out of his own house. Dad lowered his voice.
"Tarnation, Margaret. We've already discussed this."
My mother turned away and yanked a banana out of my sister's hand. Caroline looked shocked at first, and then she made a sad face, like a snowman whose cold smile had melted into a frown. It troubles me to say this, but Caroline was completely incapable of eating a banana in a non-erotic way. She couldn't help herself. She once confessed that this was an involuntary impulse, which sounded strange to me. After all, no one was forcing her to eat long, phallic-shaped fruit in the first place. Still, she was adamant.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?